If it's your first time with us, my name is Jamie, and I'm the student pastor here, and our youth group is called Pulse. We're in 7th through 12th grade students. We meet at the Brown County Christian Academy. So if you are a student that is becoming a 7th grader, you will start tonight. So I just want to throw that out there. So we'll be at the Brown County Christian Academy, 5 to 7:30 tonight. So we are continuing all through the summer, for those of you that don't know, and because I've had some questions about that. So I want to throw that out there real quick. So we've been in this series called The Holy Spirit, and hasn't Aaron just been killing it on this sermon series? Just amazing, amazing teaching, like some of the most incredible teaching I've ever heard in my life. And even Erica, when she spoke the 1 week, it's just like, whoa, this is amazing. And so they're like, hey, Jamie, how about you follow up and try to follow all that up? It's like, oh, okay, great, perfect. And so no pressure. So it's just been awesome. Very good teaching. The best I've ever heard. And I'm thankful that that we get to be a part of it. And God's just been moving in our midst and doing amazing, powerful things. And what I want to talk to you about today, though, is how the Holy Spirit is our greatest solution. He is the solution literally to everything. It's crazy that he literally is that. That Jesus is the solution for every single problem that we have in our life. Jesus is the solution. And I thought about this, like when we need a solution to a problem, what's the very first thing that we do? The very first, I know that what I do, like the very first thing, if like I need a solution to know how to do this, like the very first thing you do, what? You Google it, right? And if you're blessed enough, they made a YouTube tutorial for it. So it's like, thank you, Lord. Like they made a YouTube video because I don't know that I can read and understand what this person just wrote. So thankfully, and it's like, oh, because I know that's the way that I view things, and that's how I can learn how to do stuff. And there's also Pinterest. So if you're like, man, I am in a pinch, I have no idea, like our family needs to eat healthy, we want to eat clean, like Pinterest has a solution for it all, right? They have like an entire month's plan, and here's the plan, here's the ingredients, bam. Like you don't even have to think about it anymore. You don't need a cookbook. It's like there. Anything you need, anything you want is there on the internet. Like some of you today probably was like, cute summer outfits, 2019. Boom, you got it. You take all that, all these clothes in your closet, and you somehow combine them together to make this perfect, amazing outfit. So we have those things, right? There's literally solutions for everything. Sometimes those solutions don't work. For instance, a few years ago, we were at one of our growth groups, and it was an end-of-the-year thing, and we was outside, and we was getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, right? And Tasha Bailey, she's on our core team. I still joke with this about this to this day. So she gets out this stuff, and it's like she made this homemade concoction, probably off of like Pinterest or something like that. And she's like, yeah, it's made of like grapefruit and thieves and the tears of a seagull or whatever it is. And like we spray this stuff on us, and we end up getting eaten alive by bugs even more. So there are those times where it doesn't work. But a few weeks ago, I was changing my oil in my car. And I had taken the oil out of my car because I usually always change my own oil. But prior to that, I realized that I had actually let someone change my own oil. I took it to a mechanic. I usually never do that. And so this time I did to try to save some time because I just didn't have enough time to do it. So I take it to this guy, and I could not get my oil filter off. Like I'm like pulling everything I got to like dislocate my arm to get this oil filter off. I can't get it off. And so I even got a special wrench that fits directly to my oil filter. Use that thing, couldn't get it off. It was just spinning on my oil filter. So I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble. So I think, well, you know what? Chris Bowman is one of my neighbors, and Chris Bowman is this guy sitting here on the front row with the majestic beard. And I'm like, I know Chris is strong because he's not only got huge muscles, but he's also got a beard, which makes him 10 times stronger. It's just one of those things. It's like, if a guy has a beard, it's like, man, that dude's strong. Like, so I contact Chris. Chris comes over. And Chris can't even budge this thing over there. So I'm like, all right, I don't feel too bad. You know, I'm not, my masculinity is not too much declined because of that. You know, like if Chris can't get it off, like I feel pretty good about myself. So I get all these other tools trying to get it off. I can't get it off. And so finally I look on YouTube and I'm seeing people are taking drill bits and going through their oil filter. So I'm like, that'll probably work. But I couldn't get in because it was a direct shot up to my oil filter. So I have to end up taking all the plastic off around my tire, and I was able to get a straight shot into my oil filter, and I took the drill bit right through it and got the oil filter off. But I wouldn't have been able to do that, right, if it hadn't been for YouTube, right? Because YouTube gave me that solution. Thankfully, someone made a tutorial to do that, and I was able to accomplish what I needed to accomplish. But how many of you know that there are some things in our life that YouTube, that Pinterest, that Google just does not have the answer for, that there's just no solution for it? Because what do you do when the doctor says you only got 3 months to live? What do you do when your marriage is broken and destroyed beyond repair and there's no one that can fix it? And if something doesn't happen, you're getting a divorce. What do you do in those situations that are just impossible? That if the father doesn't come through in that situation, it is not going to get fixed. It is not going to get healed. And so I want to talk to you today about how Jesus Christ is a healer. When you look all throughout Scripture, the main part of Jesus' ministry was he was healing people. And so what I believe is that same Jesus that healed people over 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside of us. And what I believe is if Jesus has a perfect track record of healing, he can do the same thing through us. And he wants to use us to heal those that are hurting around us and those that are broken. And so what I want to talk to you tonight, today, you got to kind of bear with me because I'm used to preaching at night. So what I want to talk to you about today is how Jesus was a healer. And I want to talk to you about three different types of healing that I've noticed in reading the Scripture. And the first is this, is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. Now, spiritual healing is basically the renewal and the restoration of the human spirit. And it's basically what Jesus talks about in the Bible when he says, you must be born again. Okay? You guys tracking with me? And what happens is that healing only comes, that healing comes when a person receives forgiveness from God. So let me read this verse for you. This is Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. This is Old Testament, before Jesus was even born, so it's like crazy that this prophet is saying this stuff. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried away our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We are healed by his wounds. Maybe you're here in this room today and you've just been just like you've accepted Jesus in your heart. You're a follower of Jesus. Like if someone asks you, like you're a professing Christian. But there are some of you in this room that are still dealing with the same sins you've dealt with for years and years and years. And it's like, that won't go away. Like maybe you're still battling with like, man, I'm still struggling with alcohol. I'm still struggling with pornography. I'm still struggling in all these different areas of my life. Well, you know what you need in your life? You need spiritual healing. You need forgiveness in your life because we're not supposed to just get saved and accept Jesus in our heart, and we're not supposed to just get baptized. Guys, sometimes it's a daily thing where we just need to ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes it takes that. Because, for instance, let's say, for instance, that, just an example, let's say that a family member of yours ends up stealing something from you. What happens? That relationship is broken, right? Like they're still your family member, but it's like, okay, don't be around me anymore, don't talk to me anymore. And really the only way that relationship can get fixed and repaired is as if that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness. And that's how it has to start. And the same is true with our relationship with Jesus. Like when we sin, if we accepted Jesus in our heart, we're still a son and daughter. But what happens is when we sin, we're breaking our fellowship with God and we're breaking who we were created to be. And we were never created to live a life of sin. We were created to be holy as he is holy. That's what God created us to do. Maybe you're in this room and you've never, ever accepted Jesus in your heart. You've never done that. If that's you today and you've never accepted Jesus in your life, you need healed from that because your life is literally condemned and headed for hell. It literally is because what you need in your life is you need healed from that sin because you don't even sometimes you don't even realize how bad it truly is. This verse here, I love this verse here, Romans 5:12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. Maybe you're sitting here in this room today and you're thinking, man, like if people knew my junk, if people knew all the sins that I've done, if people knew all my baggage, all my past, they would not be in this room right now knowing how crazy my life is and how awful it is because of how deep in sin it is. But what you got to realize and what you got to understand is you're in good company in this room because we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. Not one in this room is perfect. And if you think you are perfect, you're in the wrong church. Maybe you're in the right church because maybe you need to hear this. But none of us are perfect, right? We have all fallen short of God's glory. We've all fallen. And if you have sin in your life, it's basically, so like when someone gets a disease in their life, what happens? Like it literally is killing that person, right? The same is true with sin in our life and our heart. If we let it, sin will actually kill us and destroy our life. Because think about it. How many people do you guys know in your life that died an alcoholic? How many people do you know in your life that died a drug addict? How many people do you know that died very angry and a very bitter person? They had unforgiveness in their heart. Sin will kill you. Sin will destroy your life if you let it. I can tell you that sin and unforgiveness has destroyed my dad's side of the family. Even parts of my mom's side of the family, like I can see that unforgiveness and just that, like it's just like it destroys the family, right? Sin will destroy you if you let it. So what we need is we need spiritual healing in our life. We need how do we do that? We repent. We ask God for forgiveness. Like, you know, like even if you're saved, like you still need to ask God for forgiveness. Like I'm sorry. Like, man, I did this. I'm sorry. And just keep going on. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to repent. You need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to ask Jesus in your heart, and he can help you with that. The second is this. The second thing I want to mention is emotional healing. Emotional healing. Now, emotional healing comes basically when, or emotional healing is basically when a sin that you've committed or a sin that's been committed against you no longer has an emotional effect on your life. And so there are those of you in this room that need emotional healing. Because of what someone did to you when you were younger, it has affected your emotions, right? Now, God created emotions, and thank goodness he did, because emotions are a great thing, right? Like, because when we have emotions, we experience joy, we experience happiness. Like, there's some great things about emotions that when we experience them, it's just like, this is awesome. We experience those emotions. But we were not created, God did not create us for our emotions to actually rule our life, though. And some of us let our emotions rule our life. Like when a really bad situation comes, it's like it's the end of the world. Or it's like some of you guys, like your highs are really high, but when it's like low, it's like you're really low. And it's like you go into a depression you can't get out of. And actually David himself in the Bible, when David had, David in the Old Testament, this is the guy that swung the thing and killed Goliath, swung the little sling and killed Goliath. David committed adultery. Right? He looked at the woman on the roof. He said, I must have her. And he went and he committed adultery with this woman. And he was just kind of like ashamed of what he did. So he went out and he told the army, like, hey, pull back. Make sure Uriah dies, which was her husband. And so Uriah dies in battle. He commits adultery. And then in in Psalms 32:5, David says this. It says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. That's spiritual healing. All my guilt is gone. Emotional healing. That's Psalms 32:5. You see, when we sin in our life, guys, we experience shame and we experience guilt. But when someone sins against us, well, we experience all kinds of emotions. Shame, guilt, bitterness, anger, resentment. Like all these different emotions that we experience when others sin against us. And so David not only received spiritual healing, he not only received forgiveness for his sins, but he also received emotional healing. Like his guilt was gone. There's a lot of you in this room that God's forgiven you of your past, but you can't let that past go, and you're still battling with that emotionally. Like, oh man, I'm such a horrible person. Like I don't know how God could love me. Like you're constantly dealing with that over and over and over again, and you weren't meant to stay there. Some of you in this room have deep emotional woundings in your life. Deep emotional hurt. Very, very bad hurt in your life. Because when you were little, someone abused you. When you were a teenager, you might have got molested or you might have got raped as a teenager. And you're dealing with that. You're dealing with that battle and that emotional thing. Like you got anger and you got hatred. Like you got this guard up all the time. You need healed from that. Maybe you're here in this room today and maybe it was something that your spouse did to you. Like they really hurt you emotionally. And it's like, I'm going to live with them just for our kids, but I am really not happy. Like our marriage is not good. He's going to sleep on the couch every night and I'm going to sleep in my bed. And you need healing emotionally for that because God does not intend for you to live that way. There are marriages in this room, guys, that are on the brink of divorce if God doesn't intervene. There's some of you in this room that it was something that your mom or dad did, or maybe they said when you was younger, like that has shaped your identity and who you are. And it's like, oh man, I'm not good enough. And you just constantly are striving to be good enough. You need emotional healing from that. You need God to heal you from all of that. Maybe some of you in this room have been done wrong by a church. A church has literally hurt your life. Some of the stuff that happened in that church, like it's wounded you. And you came here today and you've got a lot of guards up because of maybe what a church did to you in your past. You need emotional healing from that. Some of you here in this room are just mad at God because maybe you lost a parent. Maybe you lost a son or a daughter before their time. And you're mad and you're angry and you're bitter towards God about that. Maybe there's an event in your life that you just need God to heal that emotionally because it has affected your life in such a negative way. And guys, that's why we need inner healing and deliverance prayer. That's why we do that here as a church, because it actually works. Like it is so important that we just get delivered and we get freed from that. Like it doesn't have to own you. Psalms 147:3 says this. It says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Luke 4:18, this is Jesus talking. It says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised. Jesus came literally to heal your broken heart. It says it right there. Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to heal your broken heart, your hurting heart. Like you don't have to carry what you're carrying right now. A lot of you guys are trying to make it like seem like I'm good, and you're not good. Life is not good for you right now. You need emotional healing in your life. You need God to intervene in your life. You need that. I know that my parents, when I was in high school, went through a really rough time. My dad was on the verge of leaving our home for good. He was leaving our house. He was leaving my mom for another woman. And what had happened was he had his stuff packed, ready to go. Now, this is the same dad that was a drummer in our church. I always see my dad making notes in his Bible, and my dad was always faithful to church. This is that same dad. And he was ready to leave our home for another woman. And I remember seeing my mom. She was just broken down, a mess, like she couldn't hardly get out of bed. And if you know my mom, that's not her personality at all. She's very bubbly. She's an awesome people person. And that just wasn't her personality. But it had literally crushed my mom to where she was at the point of just giving up. Like, it was bad. Like, I remember, like, there was even a woman that came to just brush my mom's hair because she was just that broken and in that bad of a shape. And I remember as my dad was getting ready to leave the house and he was getting ready to, I remember laying and crying on our recliner, and I remember crying out to God, God, please send someone right now to wake my dad up because this is not my dad, Lord. Just please. And I remember crying out with the most faith I've ever had in my life, just crying out to God like I've never cried out to God before. And at that time, the phone rang, and I don't know who it was on the other end of that phone, but my dad began to weep and he began to cry. And he said, please forgive me. I'm so, so sorry. And he'd just been hollow for such a long time. And he broke down. He wept. And so we forgave him. Since that time, my mom was healed emotionally from that. God healed her from that. God healed that marriage. He healed my mom emotionally. Not only that, but when I was graduating high school, My mom comes to me, and this is the same year I'm graduating, the same year my sister's getting married. My mom came to me, and she said, "Jamie, I don't know what to do, but me and your dad's pregnant, and we're having a baby." And I'm like, "Oh, snap. Sorry about your luck." So they end up having a baby boy, a beautiful baby boy, and man, it's just restored their marriage. It's almost like God just sent them that gift just to keep their marriage going, and it's just so awesome to see. And today they're actually celebrating 41 years of marriage. Just so awesome. Yeah. So God restores that. God can heal your broken heart. I know in our youth group, we practice in our youth group. Like, we want to see people delivered. We're believing God can heal people. We're laying hands on each other in our youth group. Like, God's doing amazing things in our youth group, right? And as we were sitting there, we were gathered in, and I was like, does anybody have anything? And there was one girl that, with tear-filled eyes, she said, "I feel like there's someone in this room that feels like they're not enough." And when she said that, there was a girl that just kind of came up front, and she was crying because she felt that way. She felt like she's not enough. And I believe that God healed that night. He healed that emotion to feel like she's not enough, because the truth of the matter is, guys, you're all enough. We're all enough. I've felt that way so many times. I stand up here all the time thinking, "God, why do you have me doing this? I do not feel worthy enough or good enough to do this." But I know what God's called me to do, and if we just truly live that out, who we're called to be, I'm telling you, God will be there to meet us, and God will help us. So today, some of you guys need emotional healing in your life. You need God to heal you emotionally. I was reading in the story because I was trying to find an example in the Bible where Jesus did this. And I looked at the story of the leper. And, you know, when you think of a leper, you know, this person has, like, it's a very bad skin disease. Like, they probably have, like, nubs for arms and all this stuff. Like, it's just they were kind of outcast to society. They weren't probably even allowed in the city. They were probably most of the time begging at the city gate. And Jesus comes along, and Jesus completely heals this guy. Completely healed. And Jesus says, "All right, go tell the priest. Don't go tell anybody," because they had to go tell the priest that they were unclean. And so this guy goes and tells everybody all about Jesus, what he'd just done, which is probably what I would do too. And so what happens was, what I read in that, though, is that it says that when Jesus did that, he wasn't allowed back in the city, and he went to lonely places. Isn't that just such like God? That when we are broken, that he just takes our brokenness from us. He takes that upon us. It says it in the Bible. You need to read it, because it says that Jesus went to lonely places. Man, he will just come right where you are. He will meet you right where you are. I don't care how low, how far you've gone. Jesus wants to meet you right where you are today. Jesus wants to heal your emotions, everything that you're battling with. He wants to heal you. You're constantly dealing with regret. Even though God's healed you, you're constantly battling with depression. You weren't meant to stay there, guys. God's got a better, abundant life for you. And lastly is physical healing. Physical healing. Now, there's some of you here today in this room that literally need physical healing. And I believe that. Because we all have problems. We all have just neck pains, back pains, all that stuff. We've all got things where we could use God's healing. And I know from experience that God can literally heal any disease. He can do anything. I've seen it happen. I've literally seen it happen. So the fact of the matter is, guys, is if we are followers of Jesus, you know what Jesus says at the Great Commission? Do you know what he says? This is a great, this is Jesus' final words on this earth. You know what he says? He says, "They will know you are my disciples, because when you lay your hands on the sick and you pray for him, they will be healed." That's pretty powerful stuff. And I don't know about you, but I want to live into that. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times where I went into a Kroger or a Walmart and I saw someone in a wheelchair, and it's like, "Oh, I really want to pray for that person," but I just kind of let fear get the best of me. I don't want to live that way. I want to see Jesus move through me, and I want to see people healed. I want to see people's lives touched. Because that's what Jesus comes to do. When you've seen all these things happen, what's the fruit of that? Joy, like happy, like, "Man, this is awesome. Look what God done in my life." The testimony of what God done. I want to see that happen. And what I want you to know this is that we're not a church that's like identity is in healing, okay? But what I want you to know is that healing is a prerequisite of being a son and a daughter of the King. Because here's the problem is if we are a church that bases our entire church off of healing alone, we will always need another miracle to validate our worth and who we are in Christ. So we got to make sure that that's not our identity, but it's a part of who we are. So we need physical healing. And I want to just share with you a few stories, okay? I love this. So we're in our youth group and we're praying at Pulse. And I basically preached this message. And as we're there in Pulse, we're up front like, hey, does anyone just want to be healed physically? And one of the girls raised her hand like, yeah, like I have bad asthma. I want God to heal me of that. And one of our leaders like stepped up and said, oh my goodness, like God just told me there was someone in this room that couldn't breathe. And so we all like gather and we lay hands on her. And she says, as we're praying for her, she begins feeling her lungs clear up. Do you know what's happened since that time? She's not had one asthma attack. Not one. She's had some things with allergies and stuff like that, but she's not had one asthma attack. I talked to her this morning to verify, okay? Not have one asthma attack. And that was like well over a month ago because she plays sports and she has to like quit playing sometimes because it's just that bad. God has healed her of that. Isn't that awesome? That's a real thing. That's not just some made-up TV thing. That's a real thing that my God did. My Aunt Cora, when she was younger, she was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, she was very, very sick. You know, obviously she was going to die. And this was before I was even born. It was, you know, well before I was born. She was my great aunt. And one of my cousins there at the church said, I feel like we need to go get Cora and we need to bring her in here and pray for her right now and lay hands on her. So they literally pick this sick woman up out of bed and they carry her in the church and they bring her up front of the church and they lay hands on her and she's completely healed of cancer. And she lived a long, healthy life and she was, man, a warrior for the kingdom. I'm telling you, like this woman could pray like none I know. It was awesome. So I have that story. When I was younger, giving you an example from personal experience, when I was younger, I was very highly allergic to bees, very highly allergic, to where the doctor said, if you get stung by one more bee, you could potentially die, because my oxygen would just like it would just shut off, like I would just swell and I couldn't breathe. And so my mom said, you know what, I'm just going to, like my mom wouldn't allow me out of the house. It was just kind of like she was constantly in fear of that. And so my mom took me and she said, I'm going to believe that you can be healed of this. And she takes me and they pray for me. And I think it wasn't too much longer after that. I'm outside and I'm playing. And when I'm outside and I'm playing, I step on a bee. And my sister and her friends are like, oh my goodness, like he's stung by a bee. So they rush me to my mom. And my mom's friend like is driving us to the hospital. And she has to stop and get gas on the way. And as they're at the gas station, the things that's funny in first service is not funny in second service. It's just... Anyway, she stops to get gas, and as she's there at the gas station, God speaks to my mom and says, don't you believe that I healed Jamie? And my mom's like, so she gets back in the car to go to the hospital, and my mom says, we can't go to the hospital. She's like, what are you doing? She's like, no, I believe God healed Jamie, and I'm not going to doubt that. And so I go back home. I was completely fine. Since that day, that's when I was a little boy. Since that time, every time I've got stung by a bee, it's just been like a little, it's just swollen up a little bit, like, you know, a little bump. Never had any effect ever since that. God healed me from that. My dad, him and mom was first married, he had nosebleeds all the time really bad. And so he has these nosebleeds and just all the time. It was just randomly happened. And one time he had a nosebleed in church. And this man comes up to me and he's like, hey, let's just pray that God can just heal your nosebleeds, like that he just can heal that. And so they prayed for my dad, and since that day, he's not had a nosebleed. And that was probably over, I don't know, 35-plus years ago. God healed that. Isn't it amazing the little things that God cares about? God cares about you. God loves you. It's so awesome. Aaron shared the story last week, but I'll kind of share a little bit more about it. A few months ago, we went to this prayer thing, and that they were praying for people for physical healing. And Rihanna looks back at me because, like, you know, If you know my, if you know Rhiannon at all and you're very close to her, she's all about truth. Like, she's not a show. There's nothing fake about her. Because me, like, if I'm teasing my mom or I'm trying to joke my mom, all she has to do is look at Rhiannon to know if I'm telling the truth. Like, that's all she's got to do, because Rhiannon, just, she's just full of truth. And I love that about her, because thank God that I have her, because, man, I definitely need it. And so we're going through this line, and like, we're at this line. It's like, all right, Jamie, you know I got chronic neck and back pain, so I'm believing God for that. And she's like, but I'm not going to say anything. She's like, so I'm like, okay. And so we're walking through the line, like, I'm seeing her up in front of me. And what had happened was the guy laid his hand on her neck and said, I just, you know, I don't know, something like about C4 or something, whatever vertebrae in her neck or something like that. Just command that to go back in place in Jesus' name. And then, like, laid his hand on her back, command all the chronic pain to leave. And instantly, her pain was gone. And Rhiannon, I remember, like, seeing her up in front of me, and she goes, "Woo!" Like, she is, like, losing it. And I'm like, whoa, that is not my wife. I'm like, what just happened? And what God had done, God had completely healed her, because when God heals you, when God does something in your life, he wants to get glory for it. And there's just sometimes where it just comes out and you can't help but shout. Like, thank you, Lord. Since that day, she's not had any neck or back pain. That's the same God, that's the same Jesus that lives inside of us, that wants to heal those around us. He wants to do that. For instance, I was this week actually, I'm like, all right, God, I'm preaching about healing, so it's like I just want to live into this. I want to start seeing you do things. And so I work in Russellville, and I was driving to Georgetown to get something to eat, and I'm like praying, like, God, do I go to McDonald's or do I go to Little Caesars? And it's like, well, they're both a terrible choice, Jamie, but if you want to prefer, you can go to Little Caesar. So I was like, all right, cool. So I went there, and I go through, and I get a pizza and stuff, and I just felt like God said, you need to go across the road to the park, because there's someone over there that has back pain, and I want to heal them. And I'm like, okay, let's do this thing. All right, God, I'm all in. So I drive across the road, and I park, and I'm just sitting there, and like all of a sudden, like beside me pulls in this car, and I'm like, I look, and it's just, this woman gets out of her car, and she's got like the big, huge glasses on, and her husband, I see him get out of the car on the side. I see this man just walking around the side of the car, and he's got a cane, and it's got one of those three-pronged canes, and he's walking. And I'm like, oh, Lord, is this, are you sure you want me to do this? Like, I don't know. Like, this is really strange. Like, God, make sure that I want to make sure. And like, the old man walks by me, and he's like waving at me. I'm like, oh, God, like, I need to do this, but, and so what do? I let fear get the best of me, and the old man walks right past me, and I don't even get out of the car. And so I'm like, man, I should have done that. And I'm like, all right, God, well, if that was you, like, all right. So if you know, like, Georgetown, that park, it's like this huge walking track that goes out through the woods, and, like, it's taking a really long time. So I'm sitting there having a conversation with God. I'm like, all right, God, like, do you really want to do this? And they get back in their car. I'm like, well, they're leaving, so I guess I missed the opportunity. And they get back out of their car, and they just grabbed a sack lunch, and they walk by me again. I'm like, all right, God, I get the point. Let's do this. So I'm like, hey, I don't know or not if you have back pain or not, but he's like, actually, I've had multiple back surgeries in my back, and I've had, like, multiple things happen, like, where he's needed back surgery. And I'm like, all right, well, I felt like God wanted me to pray for you and pray for your back. And so I did. I prayed, and I just, you know, wasn't anything elaborate prayer. I just prayed. Because what I believe is that the same prayer that can heal cancer is the same prayer that can heal a headache. We don't have to have some big elaborate prayer. Jesus never taught us that. And so I pray for this man's back, and he's like, thank you very much. Like, he could see, like, little tears come out of his eyes. I don't know if that man was healed or not, but you know what? I want to live into that. What would happen, guys? What if we miss an opportunity for someone to be healed because of our fear and unbelief? God wants to do this stuff every day in our life. We need to live into that. We need to be willing to say, to have our eyes open when we go into a Walmart to see somebody healed. We gotta do that. Like we gotta be bold in our faith. Because God wants to do the miraculous in people's lives. And now, in order for us to see this type of healing, in order for us to see healing happen, what I noticed in the Bible, there was basically three different ways that I've seen Jesus heal in the Bible. Three different ways. And I want to kind of share those with you because I think it's very important for you to realize a few different ways that I've noticed healing in the Bible. Now, there's probably a few more, but here's three that God showed me. The first is because of their faith, because of the faith of others that someone gets healed. And let me just show you an example. This is in Mark 2:12. It says, "When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them, since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was laying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" I love Jesus. Like, he's just my kind of guy. So right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" You see, his friends knew that the only way this man was going to get healed is if they got him to Jesus. And what I love about that is that when they lowered him through the roof, they was expecting Jesus to heal him physically. But what Jesus actually did was, man, he healed him spiritually. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." Because that's the most important thing. Guys, your soul is the most important thing. And that's what Jesus came and he died on the cross for you. And then after that, just to like make these guys, like put these guys in place, like, "All right, you don't forgive sins? Like, all right, boom, get up and walk." So he gets up his mat and takes him and goes home. Pretty awesome stuff. All because Jesus saw their faith. Not this man's faith, but their faith. I wonder what it will take in our lives, guys, to motivate us enough to get our friends to Jesus. Are we motivated enough to say, "You know what, no matter what, if I got to cut a hole in this roof with a sawzall, I'm going to get my friend to Jesus because I'm going to do whatever it takes"? Do we have that type of attitude? I don't know that we do sometimes. Because I know that I have a lot of family that are just lost and broken and hurting. And it's like, I don't even do anything to help those people. Who in your life needs healing? What would happen today, guys, if because of your faith, you stepped out and said, "You know what? I need to go talk to this person. Like, I need to go lay my hands on this person. Or I need to share a word with this person." What would happen if because of your faith, Jesus healed somebody today? What would happen if because of your faith, you came up here and said, "You know what? My grandma's got cancer and I want to see her healed." What would happen if because of your faith, God healed your grandma? What would happen because of your faith? Second is this. Because of your faith, because of our own faith, Jesus was able to heal. Now, what I noticed was sometimes in order for us to receive healing, it requires the faith of others, but there's other times I noticed in the Bible it requires our own faith. Like anytime you see this happen, like it was because of people's faith that it happened and obedience. So there's this woman with an issue of blood, and she has this issue of blood for 12 years. She's hemorrhaging for 12 years, bleeding. She had some kind of uterine disorder. So she had tried every single physician she knew, and there was no one that could help her. She had done everything. She spent all that she had on all these physicians, and no one could help her. And she said, "You know what? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." And so she does. She gets up enough faith. This is a woman that's an outcast, not allowed to be around anyone. And she's like, "I don't care anyways. I'm pushing through the crowd. I'm doing whatever I can to get to Jesus." And she pushes through the crowd, weak and frail, everything she has, pushing through the crowd. And she touches the hem of his garment. And when she touches the hem of his garment, you know what happens? Jesus says, he's like, "Whoa, who touched me? Because I felt power go out of me." Man, wouldn't that be awesome as if someone touched you, you just felt power go out of you because God just healed them? That'd be pretty stinking awesome. I want to experience that. Here's what it says in Mark 5:25-34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." She was healed because of her own faith. This woman had been an outcast. Man, she had a very rough life, a very serious situation. She was considered unclean. Yes, she got to Jesus anyways. She didn't let her infirmity, she didn't let the reality that she was considered an outcast prevent her from getting to Jesus. She got to Jesus anyways and pushed through the crowd. I wonder today how many of us in this room are letting fear prevent us from getting to Jesus. And you walk out of this room week after week after week, miserable person. You walk out of this room week after week after week after week, having a bad back pain, having headaches all the time. You walk out of this room week after week after week just dealing with the fact that your leg doesn't work very well. And God wants to heal you. Jesus wants to do that. I believe that. This woman had done so much. She pushed through the crowd to get to Jesus. If we want to see Jesus heal us, guys, whether it be spiritual, physical, or emotional, we need faith to see that Jesus can do that. And lastly, I want to mention is this, is gradual healing. So sometimes it's the faith of others, sometimes it's our own faith, and then sometimes it's a gradual healing. And what I want to share with this is Jesus. It says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." And what happens? This man goes, he tells everybody. Typical. I would too. But this man's blind. So think about this. This man's blind, okay? And Jesus says, "Do you see anything?" He says, "Well, I see people and they look like trees walking around." Now, I can kind of relate to this guy because I'm basically almost blind in my one eye. Like it's just everything's a complete blur in this eye. So when I look like that, when I look at you guys look like just like a thin cylinder. Like I can't recognize any face. So I can see, you know, like a blurred vision could look like, you know, maybe a tree standing there. Some people even believe like that Jesus overhealed this guy and he was actually seeing angels walk around. So Jesus is like, "Oh, let's do this again." But I want to take it as the first thing that I mentioned. But sometimes it requires a gradual healing. Like, you know what? Today your marriage might not be fully restored. But what if today you come and just say, "You know what, I want to plant a seed and I want God to begin to work in that." And what if through that seed, God just begins to grow in that and your relationship begins to flourish. You guys end up falling in love with each other like you never fall in love with each other again. And you fall in love with Jesus. And man, God restores that marriage, but it might take a gradual little bit of time. It might take some gradual healing in your life to heal from emotional things. It might take, you know, several prayers to for God to heal you physically. But just keep praying. Just pressing into it. Because God wants to bring his kingdom to earth. And just think about that. If God wants to bring his kingdom to earth, like heaven is perfection. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering, all that stuff. If God wants to bring his kingdom to earth, I think he wants to heal us too. Because he wants to bring heaven to earth. He wants that to come inside of you. God wants to heal you today. So would you just stand with me? Listen, guys, there are those of you in this room today that have never, ever accepted Jesus. You came in here, your life's a train wreck. And you came in here like, "Man, I need to change my life. I need to give my life to God. I need to give my heart to God." But you've never made that commitment today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, would you just raise your hand and say, "Today, I want to give my life and heart to Jesus today. Because I'm tired of dealing with this sin. I'm tired of being the way that I am. I want to give my life to Jesus." Anybody else want to raise your hand and say, "Yeah, that's me. I want to accept Jesus." I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand back there. I see that hand. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. If I see you today, no one's looking around, but we're just going to say a prayer together. Would you just repeat this with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again. Please forgive me for my sins. I want to live my life for you from this day forward. God, help me to live for you all the days of my life. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You prayed that prayer? Yeah. The Bible says that we become a new creation when we receive Jesus in our heart. The old has passed away, the new has come. And if you're here today and you need, like, man, I've accepted Jesus in my heart, but I'm still struggling, like spirits, like I still struggle with this sin all the time. Like, I am tired of dealing with this thing. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Like, I want to give this thing to Jesus. I don't want to have to make this be a battle the rest of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to give this sin to God because I'm tired of dealing with it. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see all those hands. Well, I just want to pray for you right now. God, I just come to you in the name of Jesus. I just ask that, Father, that the ones that are Christians and the ones that are struggling, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that, God, you would help them to overcome this sin, Lord, that they don't have to deal with this any longer, that it doesn't have to be a weight or baggage any longer in their life. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would just come right now, Father. Father, take this sin from them, God, that they don't have to deal with this another day, that it's not a battle anymore, but, Lord, I pray that, Father, they would get right in their mind, Lord, and overcome this thing. I pray that the enemy away, I pray the enemy out of this room right now where he's trying to hinder people from getting freed. I pray you away right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, I pray you come right now and into their hearts and into their lives, God, and help them, give them strength to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. And lastly, if you're on the prayer team, I just want to have you come up on the sides of the room real quick. Listen, if you're here today and you need emotional healing, you're going through depression, you're going through battles, whatever the case may be, you need healed from that today. You've got deep wounds from your past. God wants to take that from you. And I believe he can do that. If you're here today and you need physical healing, let's come up here and try to get it. Like, man, whatever it is, like, let God take care of that. Even if it's just a little thing, like, man, my toe hurts. Like, come up here. Let's get God to heal that thing. I believe God can do that. And listen, if you're here in this room and like God's like, man, like God's speaking to me and I don't know, like there's someone in this room that needs healing for this, come up here and let me know and I'll share it from the stage. Like, hey, is there anyone in this room that needs healing for that? We'll just pray for it, right? And so as we're playing this last song, if God's speaking to your heart today, why don't you just come? Why don't you just come and get that thing taken care of? What if today is the day that God heals you? Man, it'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Man, the testimony he's going to give you. As the band plays this last song, if that's you, if you want to share anything, if it's not you, and like I just need to share this and get this off my chest, or even if you just need to go to talk to someone, like someone, God's laying someone in your heart. That happened in the last service. God was like stirring in someone's heart, like, oh my gosh, they're back there behind the spotlight, and God needs me to go talk to this person. So they did, and they prayed, and then that person prayed for them. Awesome. So whatever the case may be, let's let God just be the healer that he is today.